Good afternoon, KCTA listeners. I'm Gracie, the program director here at KCTA, and I'm here with Carol Murphy. You might recognize her name. She's Buddy Murphy's wife from Practical Christianity. It's on KCTA weekdays at 7:15 in the morning. So be sure to listen to her husband's preaching, and I think you'll really enjoy it. But Carol is here today. I know you're from the Good Samaritan Rescue Mission.
I'm the executive director and senior chaplain.
Oh, wow. So you're like the head honcho over there.
I'm the other mother.
The other mother. Okay. So what does your job entail?
Well, I really am the other mother. When I first came, I started in Good Samaritan about 1982, filling in for Buddy's father, Brother Tom. Mm-hmm. And I learned on the first day that I was born to take care of homeless. I was born to do that. And I will do it until I die or until the Lord comes to get us. And it just touched my heart so much. Finally, in 1998, I became the executive director. And since then, we've grown from 40 beds to 213 beds.
Oh, wow.
And we began accepting women because the women's shelter had overflow needs, mm-hmm. and we are a secure facility. No one's going to get to the ladies.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, it has been an exciting adventure. And
y'all get children there too, or
no? We don't.
Okay.
It's men and women. We do not house minors.
Okay.
So our family department of taking care of homeless is the Salvation Army. That's our joke between us.
Oh, okay.
The Salvation Army sends us single folks, and we send them families because they're the only shelter that can keep an entire family together. Mom, dad, and the children can stay together. So we work extremely closely with them because we both love Jesus. We both preach Jesus to our folks that come in. So it's a great partnership.
Oh, that's great. I didn't realize that y'all work together. That's nice. So I know since you'd work directly with the homeless, can you tell us like a little bit about the homeless, who they are, what kind of people they are, and on the difference between the people that you work with versus, you know, panhandlers?
There's an extreme difference, but there's no reason for the average Christian out there to know the difference. But when I came to work at Good Sam, I'm a very nosy person. Mm-hmm. So I would ask them all of these personal questions, and it was like they were relieved that somebody was finally asking them some really personal things about themselves. And that's how I learned about homeless. I learned about street people by talking to them and asking them what made them tick. Mm-hmm. And there's a big political thing going on right now about panhandlers.
Yes.
And I am in agreement with the city that the panhandling needs to stop. And that is a very controversial thing for a Christian. Mm-hmm. But the reason I'm stepping into this water is because I have known so many panhandlers and I see what's happening. And if we were helping them, then I would be totally in their camp. But the difference between a panhandler and someone who comes to Good Samaritan is a panhandler is a person, what would motivate them? Let's just think about what motivates a panhandler for a moment. It's not because they do not know where the resources are for them. The grapevine on the street is at lightning speed in Corpus Christi. They all know where everything is. Mm-hmm. But a panhandler in Corpus Christi makes between $40 and $200 per day, tax-free, on their own time.
Wow.
During the holidays, they can make up to $500 a day. Now, think about that for a minute. Why would a panhandler quit that, quote, job and take a job at HEB or Stripes or Walmart or anywhere else? I mean, that's good money. That's better than you and I make.
Yeah, for sure.
And so what happens is then others say, man, look how much money they're making. Well, I'm going to panhandle too. And a lot of them have apartments. Many of them will go together. They will work in cells of four because there's four corners, mm-hmm. and then they'll divide their money up in the evening sometimes. But they will either go rent, like Midtown Motel, them in are some of the hotels at Leopard. Mm-hmm. They have rooms that they rent to live in. Others are so incredibly addicted, their daily cost for their substance is so expensive that they live on the street. But they do not go to the shelters for services. They do not want our help. You know, Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. But he also said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. A life is a series of choices.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks are choosing not to come, not to have a different kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have folks, we have a day labor program. And we believe that God created us to work.
Oh, yeah. He says you don't work, you don't eat.
Oh, but that is a that is a forgotten scripture.
Yes.
So the problem that the Christian has is they have, when someone walks up to them, you know, the scripture says, if someone asks you, then give to them. So they're giving them money. But if you think about it, would you, if that were my child out on the street, and my child were an alcoholic, I'm not going to hand my child money to go buy liquor. Yeah. I'm not going to hand my child money to go buy synthetic marijuana, because I'm basically endorsing what they do and saying, I don't care if you kill yourself with it. So what the city has come up with is a voucher booklet, and Good Samaritan is going to be part of it. We're going to have a page in there where they can come and stay at Good Samaritan and just try us out and see if they like us. Some shelters, some of them have had really bad experiences in shelters across the United States. Some shelters totally micromanage your life, and that's the one thing that they cannot handle. But if a panhandler wants to stop panhandling and come to Good Samaritan and plug into a family again and have a normal life, then we're the place to come and they are welcome. All they have to do is show up. But here's what happens. We have guys and ladies going out on our day labor program that gets them a job that builds their confidence back up. Because when you come into Good Samaritan, anytime you walk into a homeless shelter, you've been traumatized and you don't have any self-confidence. Mm-hmm. So if somebody says, why don't you go get a job? Well, that's easier said than done when you're just looking for a reason to live another day.
Oh, yeah.
So, but if we say, here's a job ticket, you're going to be working today at Turner's, or you're going to be working at Wilcox today or whatever, and here's the van, you go in van number 2. And then we pay them at the end of the day. We pick them up, or we take them to the job site, bring them home. And if they want a sack lunch, we provide the sack lunch. But then if they get out in the evening and they've got their paycheck and they're running down to the store to cash their paycheck, and they run into the panhandler, and this person has made 60-something dollars for a hard day's work, and the panhandler dumps his
$400 or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then that D incentivizes a person to have a regular job. And so it proliferates the panhandling.
Oh,
and that's
man.
Exactly what's happening. And
that's
we're getting
worse.
More and more and more. I can remember a day when Corpus Christi had none. I remember the first panhandler I saw, and it was going into the HEB end of Moore Plaza, and I said, look, we've never had beggars here before. Wow, look at that. It was a real sight to see. But now it's proliferating everywhere.
Oh, I know. Even in Cal Allen, the last place I ever thought it would happen, there's one in Cal Allen now.
You know, some folks thought that the shelters were the problem.
The shelters are not the problem.
No, because they won't go to the shelters.
Yeah.
There are more on the south side, and there are no shelters on the south side. So it's really not about being homeless.
So if they're on the south side panhandling, you can guarantee they're not homeless.
They live somewhere else.
Yeah.
Now, they may choose, like I went, so the police have cleared it out somewhat now, but I went several years ago to the camps in Flower Bluff.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't believe when you walk into the brush, there's a sofa, there's a generator, there's a TV, a little refrigerator, a lamp.
Oh, my God.
And you can't even see it from the street. But they have a nice little home there, and they have a little cluster of friends. And I said, why don't you come and stay at Good Samaritan? And they said, well, your side of town is more dangerous than out here in the Bluff. And besides, Miss Carol, we work out in the Bluff. And I said, you work, but you're living here? I said, you get a paycheck? I said, is there just no housing out here? And they said, no, we just prefer to use our funds for other things. We like camping.
So they like drugs is what that meant? Or alcohol?
Probably.
Oh, my gosh.
What else would it be?
Yeah.
And I said, how many are out here in the camp? And they said, about 600. And I about dropped my teeth.
600?
Yes.
When was this?
Oh, this was about 10 years ago, maybe.
Oh, my goodness.
Since then, the city's mowed down all that area. You know, for owners, I see both sides of the thing. For owners, there's a real liability there.
Mm-hmm.
They can start fires. You know, all kinds of things can happen. But it's become an alternative lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're making $40 to $200 a day, there's no incentive to have a different lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, and you don't have to pay taxes or anything either.
But when I've had churches or other believers come up and ask me what to do, they can carry, this is what I had recommended before I knew the city was putting together a plan, carry bottles of water in the car and protein bars or some kind of snack like that, and say, I'm so sorry, I can't give you funds because panhandling is illegal in Corpus Christi, but I do have something for you, and here you are. And would you mind if I just said a little prayer for you? And just pray for them, give them a hug, and go on. Say, God bless you. If you're scared of them, then just hand them the food. You know, there are all different kinds of people out there panhandling.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And I did a little town hall meeting. We have about 38 ladies staying with us. And I asked how many had actually lived on the street and had panhandled. And some of them raised their hands. And I said, how much money did you make panhandling? And one said, I made $50 the first hour. And I said, wow. I said, did you get a hotel? And she said, no. I said, where did you stay? And she said, I stayed on the street with my boyfriend. And I thought, wow. And she said, it's really hard. It's dangerous out there. And I said, for those of you that have lived on the street here in Corpus Christi, and you know some of the other ladies that are on the street, I said, how many ladies do you think would come off of the street and go into a shelter if they were to split up with the man they're with? And they all, like a choir, they said, all of them. And that just really, we are now in the process of making another lady storm, mm-hmm. because we want to encourage them to come in. That is not a life. You should have my food service supervisor come in sometime. She was put on the street when she was 7 years old. And she can tell you the life that a female lives on the street. And it is a life from hell. But God has called believers to help those. But when we give them money that we know, you know, they say, well, don't judge. You know, I don't judge. I just give them the money.
Mm-hmm.
But when you, why not give them food instead?
Because usually they refuse it. That's happened to me several times.
They refuse the food?
Yeah, they say, I don't want your food. I want money.
And
I
what does that tell you?
Yeah, it tells you exactly.
Then you're saying, then when you hand them the money, you're saying to them, in effect, I am endorsing what you're going to use this money for. I am endorsing that you drink yourself to death. I'm going to give you the money to go buy your synthetic marijuana or your crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to help you perpetuate your self-destruction. Perpetuate.
No worries.
It's been a long day. But we are not called to codependency. Mm-hmm. We're called to compassion. And it's a whole different world.
Yes. Well, Carol, we're running short on time, but can you quickly tell our listeners if they want to donate? Because I know you said you're in need for some more beds.
Good Samaritan Rescue Mission. If you want to mail, it's P.O. Box 65, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Mm-hmm. If you want to come by and see us, or if you need a place to stay, we're at 210 South Alameda at Kinney Street. And we're 63 years old this year.
Oh, And how many beds do you have available?
We have 213 beds.
Okay, so you can house a lot of people.
We can house a lot of people. We keep home. We have hospital discharges. We take care of disabled. We take care of mentally ill. We take care. The hospitals can host. They can have home health, and we also have a hospice program.
Wow.
So
y'all do a lot of stuff.
We're just God's big, happy, dysfunctional family. But it's God's house. We don't accept government funds so that we can preach the gospel.
That's amazing.
I was born to do it.
Oh, yeah. I think you really were.
I was. No doubt about it.
Can you give our listeners your phone number? Maybe they're to the Good Samaritan?
Yes, our number is 361-883-6195. And we're open around the clock, 24/7, 365. We're never closed. We served over 240,000 meals last year. We served 3 meals a day and 2 snacks. And we're excited about what we do.
Oh, me too. Well, thank you so much for coming. And I'd like to have you back maybe next week.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.